Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. Joined sporadically on Tuesdays by Steve Hellwagon. We are about to get really rolling back through football here. Hope everyone had a great holiday weekend and just rested and refreshed. We are mid-graduation here for my eldest daughter, so there is no breaks. However, Steve, let's talk what we do back on the grind today. Can you let us know what's going on? Bring us up to speed for the Buckeyes. Where is the football team right now? What can we expect out of the next few weeks? The floor is yours.
Yeah, I think right now is actually a break between semesters. They finished the winter semester at the beginning of May. And then they have what they call a May semester, which is just several weeks of classes. And some guys take advantage of those to accelerate their credits and move closer to graduation. And it's tremendous. And there is some workouts. There are some workouts that go on during that period. But the summer semester will begin in about a week or two. And that's when Coach Mickey Marotti and his staff really kind of take a hold of this team, and the incoming freshmen who have not enrolled yet will be there, and it's basically all hands on deck. So if you're going to have 85 scholarship players and 15 or 20 walk-ons, every one of those guys will be on campus working out, moving forward, beginning in about probably 2 weeks, I think, maybe not even that long. I have to check the dates on the calendar, but that's probably the one thing for the 2023 team is that's what's coming up sooner rather than later. For the coaches who actually, you know, coach football, they're not really hands-on as much with these guys. They'll have some limited interaction with them, certainly during this stretch. But one of the big things, obviously, that the coaching staff is involved with in the month of June, they're going to have 5 days of advanced camp setting, which are one-day camps where they bring in all of the top players that they can find, you know, in those 5 days from all over the Midwest primarily, although we've seen guys from California and Florida come in, Texas, New Jersey come in for these camps before. In some ways, kids are working out to get scholarships. In other ways, they're scholarship players that want to be taught by the best and want Larry Johnson to show them something, or Brian Hartline or Tony Alford. And it's not unusual for a prospect to come in and have a one-on-one workout with an assistant coach. So those are 5 days that are coming up. I think the first one is June 8th. And they'll be spread out throughout the rest of the month. And, of course, Bill Kerlick, Patrick Murphy, myself will be there for all those days. Probably some 24/7 people, too. Mick Walker might be there. So those are the two big things going on in the month of June. And I'm not sure if Dan alluded to this because he did cut out for at least on my feed for a second or two, but we have interviews with the assistant coaches today. I don't think Ryan Day will be involved, but the 10 full-time assistant coaches will be available to the media today. So that's something to look forward to later on today, coverage of that. Dave, myself, Patrick will be there, and we'll bring you all the news of everything those guys had to say.
Not your first rodeo. What type of information do you expect to come out of today?
Well, I think it'll be interesting. You know, again, if you could get the coaches to step out of their comfort zone a little bit and try and, because it'll be very informal setting today, and maybe get into a little bit more depth about some of the guys and their development in spring football. You would ask a Corey Dennis, you know, what is it specifically he likes about what Kyle McCord and Devin Brown did during the course of the spring. If it's Justin Fry, you would ask, you know, what makes you confident that this offensive line is going to come together during preseason camp and protect the quarterback and do the things that really they were not able to do on a day-in, day-out basis during the spring. Ask him how the San Diego State transfer, I think Josh Simmons, is going to assimilate if he's already on campus, which maybe he was in for some dates in May. I'm not sure exactly what his timeline was. Just questions like that. I think with Tim Walton, you know, the cornerbacks coach, you know, Denzel Burke, Jordan Hancock, Davison Igbinosin, those three guys in particular. Yeah. How are they going to, you know, take the cornerback play from last year and improve it and get better coverage and better, you know, make more plays on the football, those type of questions. And then for Larry Johnson, you know, he's a veteran coach and he's going to talk a little bit about his guys, you know, JT Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer. But really, to me, as big a focus as the guys on the outside is, are the focus for a lot of it's on the inside with those defensive tackles. You know, is it going to be impact play from Ty Hamilton and Michael Hall and all those guys, Tyreek Williams inside? So, you know, there's a lot of areas that we can cover. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting when we get a hold of these guys. Brian Hartline, obviously, his first – I mean, I know – you guys this past Friday had him on the Bucknuts Morning Five, and that was a great show. And this will be kind of an offshoot of that today if we get a chance to talk to him about play calling and, you know, everything else. And my guess is a question or two about his health will come up as well after that scare that he had on the evening after the spring game. So, you know, I think a lot of interesting subplots will come out of it today.
That's one confident dude. When you interview somebody and look him in the eyes, I imagine he's scared off a questionable question or two on his day during a media scrum with a little bit of
He knows a way to disarm people. Let's just say that. Yeah. And I tell you, the confidence is not something he just developed in the last week. I've known him since his high school days back in the early 2000s. Great track athlete. He had an injury in high school that kind of held him back a little bit from being entirely, you know, what he wanted to be perhaps as a high school athlete, but certainly nothing held him back at Ohio State. He was outstanding and played eight or 9 years, I think, in the National Football League. So he was in the right place at the right time when everything went sideways at Ohio State there in 2018. And man, he's on the fast track to something big, I think.
I think right now you can make the argument if there's a better position coach coaching, if you take the totality of what the job is asked, production, recruiting, et cetera, it's hard to find someone doing a better job than Brian Hartline in any job.
Yeah.
He's on a run right now. So you can't, I mean, there's no argument with that. There's some questions on the board from some of the guys on YouTube here about whether or not Joe Philbin will be at the interview session today. I think Joe Philbin is an analyst. Do the analysts get to go to this, or should be more assistants?
No, typically we don't get to talk to anybody who's not a full-time assistant coach. They made an exception, I think, for James Laurinaitis in the spring. just because he's a former Ohio State player, and obviously he was on the radio here in Columbus. He was a local celebrity for, you know, after his playing days were over. So I think there was a lot of interest from the media to talk to him. I think there would be interest to talk to Joe Philbin, sure, find out what his role is going to be. What are his goals at Ohio State? And in my mind, you know, I think you and I talked about this on the show. It's to me, he's a guy that can help put them over the edge in terms of helping develop the offensive line and helping Brian Hartline in particular with his offensive coordinator duties. That's just two areas that, I mean, this was the biggest no-brainer I can ever remember for bringing a guy on staff who is so experienced, so accomplished, and I don't want to say he's going to come in and have all the answers, but he's definitely going to help him answer a lot of questions. I'll say that. So.
Yes, and I said this about Joe Philbin on the show the other day. So if this is repetitive, I apologize. But when you see his resume, the headlines are his experience in Miami and Green Bay. The past few years, and this is an extension of my geekdom here, he's been the offensive line coach in Dallas. I don't know if people remember this. Last year, Dallas drafted a first-round tackle in the 20s, Tyler Smith, out of Tulsa, who actually played at Ohio State and got worked a little bit. And there was much consternation about that. If he wasn't the best rookie offensive lineman in the league last year, he was close, and his future is extremely bright. You can thank Joe Philbin for that. But what's equally impressive is their right tackle was a free agent out of Texas A&M that Philbin developed and was kind of his pet project. And before he got hurt, he's on his way to a big payday, and I think he'll be back. So Philbin is an elite offensive line coach now. This is not an arguable point. Whether he can transfer that to the Buckeyes is one thing, and that's kind of a good bridge to what I wanted to chat about next is, as I sit back and look at the team right now, you know, you discussed the interior of the defensive line. I guess I have a little bit of concerns that the guys that we're counting on there have been more of your flash guys than your everyday plugger types that, you know what I'm saying? Mike Hall's been great. Tyreek Williams been great at times. I'm not sure they've played the amount of snaps yet to make me think we can plug the run the way we need to. They got some great depth there, but I think it's pretty clear on the team right now that if you were going to, you got a new quarterback, true, but I think the track record speaks there. The offensive line though, I'm not going to say it's a crapshoot, but we just don't know. And what you're going to be asking them to do in terms of protecting, you know, millions and millions of dollars of professional skill players, that's a big ask for guys who have really never done it except on the guard spots. Do you have concern about that? Have I assessed the team correctly in terms of what I should be concerned about?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think starting on those defensive guys, I think Tui Maloau and Sawyer are guys that you're hoping take the next step. Then, as you said, inside, you've had guys like Michael Hall, Tyreek Williams, who have at times played at an all Big Ten level, but it's been just few and far between in terms of games. And some of that could be limited reps because Larry Johnson was giving Jerron Cage and Teron Vincent and some other guys a lot of run, perhaps more run than they should have had.
Perhaps.
In the eyes of a lot of you folks out there in TV land. So, and I don't necessarily, I mean, the production kind of speaks for itself or lack thereof. So they've really got to step it up. And if we're on the offensive line, I agree with you. I think they've got bodies. If it was a case where you looked at it and you said, damn, where's the depth going to come from? How will you even fill out a two deep? That's not a problem. They've got 15, 16, maybe even 17 guys on scholarship on the offensive line. It's finding five of them that can play, you know, at or near an all Big Ten level, you know, whether it's all Big Ten first team or second team, you know, whatever, but at a high level, you know, they have to play at a high level. And that's consistency over time. That's, you know, yes, you may have one bad play in a 80 play game or a 70 play game, and we can live with that, but you can't get beat, you know, 5-6 times in a half and expect to beat anybody who's any good. So I think the offensive line is going to be under the microscope. And I'm glad to hear what you said about Joe Philbin. It just reinforces why this was so important, because behind the scenes, he can coach up the players. I don't think he'll be out there on the field directing drills and these kind of things, but he can watch practice tape. He can talk to the players behind the scenes. He can talk to the coaches behind the scenes. He can help them slot the offensive linemen to where they get the best five guys. And, you know, maybe even what we're considering right now, which is like Fryer, Matthew Jones, whoever at center, you know, whether it's Jacob James, who didn't play in the spring, or Carson Hensman or whoever, Donovan Jackson, obviously at guard, and the other tackle,
Josh Simmons,
Zim Mahalski, Tegra Toshbola, whoever it is, there could be combinations we haven't even thought of yet that are going to be the best. So that's what Joe Philbin's there, in my opinion. That's why he's there.
Oh, there's no question about that. I mean, he had, not to geek out a little bit more, but considering the fact, I mean, he worked with Zach Martin, who is going to be a Hall of Fame guard. He worked with Tyron Smith, who's going to be a Hall of Fame tackle. And then he's had the younger guys, Tyler Biotish, the center from Wisconsin. So he knows how to do it. I mean, he's seen it, and he's done it at a big-time level. So we look forward to that. All right, let's take a quick break here, pay a couple podcast bills, and come back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. Question from Chad Stryker. Who do you think they will try, a kick returner and punt returner, since Caleb Brown is gone? You suggested Jaden Ballard, Xavier Johnson, Evan Pryor, Carnell Tate. What's your vibe, Steve? That's one of the things we don't tend to drill down on too much, and then lo and behold, it's the key play in a game to go to the national championship or something. So who's the punt returner? Who's the kick returner? Are we going to have someone they fear back there, or are we going to go with the urban just catch the damn ball approach?
Yeah, I'm looking around for – I had some resources on that that I was going to refer to, but I can't find it. But the punt return to me is Emeka Buka. He filled in there and did pretty well last year. I mean – you know, the punting has become such a science with these guys, with placement and how high they hit it and where they hit it to, that they make it almost impossible against good opponents to get a big return. And a lot of times you're just left in a fielding position, you know, fair catch or whatever, just field the punt. The kick return, I like Xavier Johnson there. I think he does a decent job there. He sprung a big one against Maryland, one of the bigger ones.
One of those a year.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him. I'm interested to see who they do have back there. I mean, Evan Pryor, that could be a great place for him.
Agreed.
To get some footballs in his hand, since he has not played really in 2 years. You know, you mentioned Evan Pryor and Carnell Tate. Well, you know, they're sight unseen. We don't know. I mean, I don't know that Carnell Tate would be the greatest fit at kick return, but I'm sure between the running backs, wide receivers, you know, I'm sad that they never really gave Cam Martinez much of a run at that, because this was a guy in Michigan, you know, who was just electric with the ball in his hands. And for whatever reason, that's not been something he's been that involved with. But he was a guy that everybody talked about could be that type of a difference maker in the return game. So, you know, I'm with everybody else. I want to see what it looks like, you know, when they get the footballs back out August the 1st. You know, it's May 30th. So they'll be working on that behind the scenes June and July, catching punts and those kind of things and doing all that stuff. But, you know, we'll see. Special teams, you know, and the special teams coach took Parker Fleming took a big a lot of negative talk last year for some things that didn't go well. But, I mean, you know, they're blocking punts. Their kicker was pretty reliable. I mean, that was – he was put in an untenable position, I think, the last play against Georgia. That was beyond anything he'd ever made before. So, you know, it shouldn't have come down to that, obviously. So, I don't find – I mean, the punting game, I mean, nobody gets good field position on Ohio State typically. So, the problems come when they put the defense out there and they give up an 80-yard touchdown. So – it's made
we pinned them. We
laugh about it now. It's all fun and games, but special teams to me were pretty solid. I thought, I don't know why everyone was so down.
Well, I mean, when the season ends on a missed field goal, it's going to take on an exaggerated place in your memory, I guess. I don't think that was the reason. I mean, I'm gonna go back and
I didn't have much feeling.
You're more optimistic than I was. So I'll just say.
Yeah, I didn't have much feeling it was going to go in from there. So
the issues occurred prior to that.
Yeah, should have never come down to that.
Doc Zabo wants to know: do you think Hartline will be on the field or up in the booth? We will say that as wide receivers coach, he was on the field, animated, had his guys in a group constantly. He's got more responsibility now. How do you think it plays out?
Probably in the booth, I would think, makes more sense.
Gene Bailey on the field too, by the way. That's he can handle that.
Yeah, he'll have help. I mean, Keenan Bailey can gather the tight ends and wide receivers in one group and talk to them, and the GAs or whoever else is involved down there. I don't have a problem, you know, or an issue with that. I would think he'd be better suited to be upstairs where he can see how everything is going, see the defensive personnel groupings as the opponent sends them out and then make the play calls and so on. I think they have an army of people that are spotting, you know, and helping and okay, blah, blah, blah. I mean, their language, you know, though they're in X, we're going to be in Y, you know, whatever. So to me, I think it's just better form. It just flows better if he's up there. And obviously having Ryan Day, you know, in his ear is going to help. And I would assume that Joe Philbin would be seated up there right next to him and handing him sheets of paper and crossing things off and saying, you know, try this, look at that, take a look at this. Next time we have the ball, would you consider this? I mean, to me, it's going to flow. I think that's only going to help the whole flow of the thing, but I think he should be upstairs.
Yeah, it's important to mention, as you say, that Philbin and Hartline have a pre-existing relationship, so there won't be any issue, I don't think. You know, Hartline getting the most responsibility he's had, and then you bring in a guy who's supposed to have more wisdom than him. I think some guys could get maybe a little intimidated by that or get a little, you know, want a little more control. If you saw the interview with Hartline the other day, he is extremely happy that Philbin is on board, and everyone should be.
I'm sure he is.
Question from Mika Hanna. This is a recruiting question, then we'll get out of here. Do we land more commits soon? Obviously, William J. Curlick is not here, but there is a great expectation that we are about to go on a run for defensive prospects. Obviously, you know the corners, the one from Glenville and the one from Springfield, Bryce West and Aaron Scott are going to be at the top of the board. But I have a feeling that the month of June will be quite enjoyable for Buckeye fans. Now, you've got to go to the dean himself for official confirmation on that. But a little birdie has told me that June could be very, very productive. And I know we all want defensive recruits, and I think they're coming. So let's be patient and hope for the best.
I agree. I think the two corners from Ohio that you mentioned, I think those would be huge to keep top guys from Ohio from leaving. and particularly with West, you know, looking at Michigan, the Springfield kid, Scott, maybe, you know, looking at them as well. So I think that's important to keep those type of players away from your rival. The other thing from my experience is with these camp dates, either guys will come in for unofficial visits and kind of be around the program and decide to commit. Mm-hmm. Or somebody could get an offer and could commit, you know, during the camp. So, you know, they really don't need a whole lot more on the offensive line. I think if it's not a five-star, you know, don't jump on the next, you know, whatever.
You've seen that movie.
Yeah, I think they got plenty of those guys. I think go for quality instead of quantity, I think, at this point.
And these can be, and I've told the story before, and I'll finish on this. These can be really interesting because they'll have a ton of kids there, and there'll be a camp where other colleges are allowed to come and scout. So you'll have, good Lord, I mean, I have to do the math, several hundred kids out there. And then what they'll do is they'll bring into the facility, kind of in their indoor spot there, kind of the better dudes to kind of go against each other. I remember being in there one time and, you know, hindsight being 2020, the apple of their eye that day was Eric Glover Williams, okay? But the other two guys running routes against them were some guy named Paris Campbell, who they offered that day. And I remember his mom's yelling behind me, he's only 16 when he was running routes, and he was looking great. There was a tight end in there that they wanted named Mike Gesicki, who they offered and opted for Penn State. But there was a wide receiver there that they told, you know, you're good, but we want you to go back for your senior year and you can come back and earn a scholarship. And that was Terry McLaurin. So perhaps they should have offered Terry then and let Eric Glover Williams be on his way. But hindsight is 2020. So we appreciate Steve stopping by.
Yep.
Beautiful day in Ohio. We're going to get to interview the coaches today. So keep it locked into Bucknuts. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.